Have you ever been to a volcano? When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers!
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just won a fucking
wall. That's what you said, man.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Super Hoopers.
That's terrible.
Welcome to Super Hoopers, inconsequential discussion of the week's NBA news. I'm your host, Matt Hill. With me, as always, John Hill, Dave Feudernick. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
What up?
Wow. Okay, bringing 2000. Okay. All right. Fantastic. off to a great start. When did that ad come out? Was that like 2000? Was it 1989?
No.
Like 95.
No.
The WhatsApp commercial?
I was in high school. I feel like I was in high school. It was like late 90s.
Hold on. I'm going to do research.
All right.
See if it's on ESPN.com.
Yeah, John got the standings and the box scores up. Little mail sack today, guys. I think we'll just do a mail sack. We got some questions.
Thank you to everyone who submitted.
1999.
There we go.
I nailed it. That's like what I said. Yeah. That was my first.
Ninety-nine.
I was just a wee lad, elementary school.
Still good. Had our whole lives ahead of us.
Well, no, Y2K, man. We all thought we were gonna die.
Yeah. It was true. A big deal.
Think of all the VCRs.
This is gonna date us. But I remember New Year's party. The 2000 New Year's party, and like. On the West Coast, because I was obviously on the West Coast, the big deal wasn't midnight. It was 9 p.m. because we wanted to see if like the East Coast burned, you know, like when it went over to 2000. So I remember like we're like all looking, oh, what's going on in the East Coast? Is the world gonna end with Y2K? So.
Hey, that New Year's Eve, me and a couple of my buddies, we lied to our parents. We had a guy who was hosting a party pretend to be his dad. And call our parents to let them know that, no funny business was going to go on. And then smoked weed for the first time ever in my life.
Wow.
That night.
Yeah. You thought you were going to die. So you were like,
I was like, yo, YOLO. YOLO before YOLO.
That's amazing.
Then I threw up in his sink at about 2 a.m.
Oh, so, yeah. And then proceeded to make out with a girl?
Yeah, and then I kissed her. I was like making out with someone. So. It's kind of my thing. Memorable memorable New Year's.
My dad actually, he was a systems engineer and a computer programmer, and he would talk about how back in the day at IBM, the whole, they just didn't have enough memory on computers, so that's why they got rid of the two digits.
Yeah, of course.
Because they just didn't have, like they had like half a megabyte to write a whole program for. So they took the shortcut, and then but he had spent the last year going back to other companies trying to fix the Y2K bug. And then
that's like the premise of Office Space. Like that's his job in Office Space.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But yep, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Everything was fine. Spoiler alert.
I got high and then I threw up.
I know. I remember my friend Dave got high and drunk and then threw up in my friend Ray's bed because the party was at Ray's house.
Oh, of course, Ray.
Yo, come on. You can't throw up in a bed.
And Ray got so mad because these are like rich kids. And so like Ray's sheets were worth like thousands of dollars or something, you know? So Dave's parents had to pay Ray's parents like literally like I think $3,000.
No way.
It was a lot of money, and it was like, you know, a big beef between them because like literally these are like, you know, these like we're talking about like two very very wealthy families. So
like the Montagues and the Capulets.
It was like that. Yeah. Those two are always fighting. It's real funny. So yeah, probably related to that. Probably related all the way back to that moment when he threw up in his sheets and, you know, the other parents made him pay for it. It was Dave. I remember Dave was mad because he was like, why should I have to pay for it? You guys are rich. Like, it should just be like, you know, like, so. But then Ray's like, well, you're rich, so you should have to pay for it. So it was like a rich off.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of rich, Dirt Dog asks, why are the Knicks not terrible and will it last? Wow, did you plant this question, Dave? It's just kind of like...
No, because he's like, he presented it in our WhatsApp thread, patreon.com/superhoopers if you'd like to partake. He was clearly trying to like goad me because he would like to think that the Bulls are better than the Knicks and they're not. And he's very clearly very upset. So he's very pissed off, and I don't like where the question comes from. Very
negative. Okay, all right, bad faith. It's a bad faith question.
Wow,
sorry, Dirt Dog.
Let me go to also, ESPN.com, and indeed the Knicks are better than the Bulls. Currently, as we record, the Knicks are 14-16. The Bulls are 12-15. Wow. Two Titans of the East.
Real battle in the East.
Battling to get to 500. Wow.
Why are the
Who
Knicks
cares?
Not,
That's my answer to this question.
Yeah. Why are the Knicks not terrible? Because of Julius Randle.
The GOAT.
Without him, they would be the Wolves. They would be the Wolves.
They'd be the Wolves. Yeah, man, right. Julius Randle. We've been fans of Julius from day one.
I have. He was a Laker. He was a Laker, so I was a fan.
I was of his in New Orleans, and I was a fan of his, of the signing last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Fizdale proceeded to throw him into the fire, and he was really bad last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like big stat numbers, but not good. Right. And this year, just way better, better system. And he like worked his ass off in the offseason and shows. So is it sustainable? Maybe not. Friend of the pod, Coach Nick, sent me a bunch of clips trying to make me feel terrible about my love of Julius Randle. So,
Like defensive breakdowns or?
It was like cherry-picked clips from one game, like saying like, oh, this is a big mistake. I don't like what I see here from like his worst game of the season. But he thinks that they should sell high right now, and I think that might be a mistake.
Why not?
No need to make that decision right now.
First of all,
they have a team option next year. So,
but then the Knicks will never do it. The Knicks are not going to trade Julius Randle because Tibbs, the coach, Tibbs wants to win now, and you know he's the best player. So they're not going to do it.
No, they're going to make some like trade for Andre Drummond this year, and they're going to like you know try to be like the five seed and go out in the first round. That'll be how this year ends.
Yeah, but they probably should trade Julius Randle. Why not sell high? I mean, why not? Isn't the future?
Because maybe he's going to keep playing this well for the rest of his career.
How old is he? Is he 28?
He's only 26.
Oh, he's 26?
Yeah.
No, he's really good. Don't trade
Julius
Randle.
Oh, he's
Julius
like my
Randle.
Age. Okay.
Yeah, he's like your age on Y2K.
Yeah. No, okay, 26. All right, I could buy it. If he's actually a good player, I could buy it. 26, why not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what? He's like 2 years younger than Obi Toppin, so
Why we gotta go there?
Why we gotta
all,
talk about
their
Obi?
Ages are all aligned. Why we gotta talk about Obi?
Come on.
Hey, dude,
quickly, baby.
That's a core right there. That's a core. Julius Randle,
and Alfred Payton.
That'll get you the 7th seed in the East in perpetuity, which is exactly what you want.
Yeah,
right?
We're the new Magic, baby. Look out.
Actually, Dave, this is a good question. Can you put the Knicks players in preference of like franchise players? Like who would you not trade?
I don't think our listeners want to hear me.
No. I want to hear this because I don't know who's on the Knicks. So this would be a good time for me to find out.
This is me learning.
Yeah, who he play for?
Yeah,
obviously Julius is like on an island by himself. Like he's an all-star this year.
So he's one.
Quickly would probably be two.
But but in terms of trade value, you would definitely not want to trade Quickly, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking like this.
All the advanced numbers are saying like he is really fucking good.
And
he's only 21, and like he's just gonna keep getting fucking better and better. Like they got so lucky that he's a Kentucky guy, and they brought in like the whole Kentucky coaching staff, and they knew like what a gem he was. They got so lucky. Now, we don't need to go into like whether or not they should have drafted Haliburton, who I wanted, instead of fucking Obi Toppin. But you also have to remember, they did not think that Julius Randle was going to be this good. Fair. This year. And it, and if they knew that, there's no way they draft Obi Toppin. Yeah. There's no way.
Okay. So you got Randle one.
Quickly, so you got quickly, two good players. Cass sounds good.
Then there's a big drop off. And I'd say RJ Barrett.
What happened to Mitchell Robinson? What happened to Mitchell
Robinson? Well, Mitchell Robinson, I would
say, is untouchable.
Fourth.
He was untouchable last year.
He was Will Chamberlain.
Robinson is fourth. Mitchell Robinson's fourth. I still love him. And like those four people, that's your core. Like that, those are the core people that I think should be untouchable.
Okay, so no Obi Toppin.
I would say
no
right
Kevin
now,
Knox. So your top 10 draft picks.
Are we off on Comet? Kevin Knox, Obi Toppin.
We are off Knox. Unfortunately, we are off Frank Ntilikina, who, yes, is still alive. He is still alive.
Oh.
Still handsome as fuck. Still handsome as hell. But so yeah, like at the trade deadline, I would put money on Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina both being dealt in some trade.
So Obi Toppin, Frank Ntilikina, and Kevin Knox. If you're keeping track at home, that's three top 10 picks that didn't work out for the Knicks.
So, okay, would you put RJ Barrett in the like franchise, like keep him kind of thing? Like, do you think he could be? Okay.
He's 19 years old.
Okay, fair.
And he has showed a lot of progress this year.
Okay.
He's had some stinkers, but I still really like him. And again, the age, like you just like you have to include him in your young core. So those are the four people. After that, like who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Hey,
it's a lot of people on 1 year contracts. It's a lot of like fucking Elfrid Payton, Austin Rivers, like Reggie Bullock, like people like that. You know, like Nerlens Noel. It's like these people are not a part of the fucking future plans. Like, they're salary cap fillers. So
That's enough Knicks. Ian Smith asks, will the Sixers fall apart this season, or will they just be a disappointment during the playoffs? So I guess he's asking,
that's enough Sixers. So what's the next question?
When do they disappoint? During the season or during the playoffs, I guess is what Ian is asking.
I mean, I don't think you could say they're going to disappoint, because like I don't think they're a championship team. You know what I mean? Like going into the season, I don't think we were saying that this was a team that's going to beat the Lakers or be a championship team.
Okay, this is actually so good. So what would be a disappointment for the Sixers?
If losing in the first round should be a disappointment.
So I think what if they lose in the second round?
It depends who they're playing.
Okay.
And
how they play.
Yeah, like if they happen to line up with the Nets in the second round because the Nets don't care about their, then I'd be like, whatever. They should, but I would say there's probably only the Nets and Milwaukee that should beat them.
Right.
Although Milwaukee has shown that they are beatable.
They are
beatable. But I'm saying if Milwaukee beat them this year, I'd say it's a new team, new coach. Like Milwaukee, okay, fine. But I would say only the Nets, Milwaukee, and
the Knicks.
I would have said the Celtics, but the Celtics have fallen apart.
Right.
They're
done.
That's where I would say.
What if they? Because I do think that the Raptors pair well with them. What if they end up playing the Raptors in the first round? That might be a very tough series.
My only why I would say it shouldn't be a tough series is because they don't have a center. Like if Joel Embiid can't put up 35 points for four games, like then I would say that's a disappointment because he should feast on them. Like. They just lost, like that's been Toronto's big issue. They lost their two centers and they're playing 72 away games in Tampa.
Also their bigs like Boucher and Pascal like to shoot jumpers.
Yeah, but like they got rid of Alex Len. Mm-hmm. Aaron Baines is trash. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually a good matchup for the Sixers. Last year not a good matchup. This year they should easily just.
So you think and what's the high water mark you think like making the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think they could win the title. I mean
I think there is a slim I would agree with Matt. I think they can win the title. I don't know if I'd say they're their favorite. I mean obviously Lakers and Nets and maybe Clippers are ahead of them, but if AD's not healthy or you know what I mean? Like there's so many things that could happen.
Well, we saw last night the Lakers did not look great.
Yeah, and same thing with the Nets this year, I think are kind of funky, but Yeah, I think they could win. I just don't.
But like,
so
there's no team this year that's like unbeatable because the Nets can't play defense for the life of them.
Right.
So I mean,
I think Lakers are the closest.
Yeah, 538 has them as a 5% chance of winning the finals for the Sixers, and then 15% to make the finals. So that feels about right to me. That's pretty good.
Like considering how the season ended last year, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, totally. It does seem like Doc Rivers has made a pretty big difference over there. And Joel Embiid, it seems like Joel Embiid took the offseason pretty seriously. The 3 week offseason. He did like a cleanse or something.
Yeah. The biggest concern is going to be Ben Simmons in the playoffs. Like Ben Simmons, since the Harden trade, has been playing his ass off. He's killing it. He's looking amazing. But the issue has never been his regular season stuff. It's always been, it's the same thing with Giannis. When they can lock down and say, we're just not going to let you, you know, we're just going to clog the paint and we'll slow you down. What does he become in the half court? It's the same problems always. And that's the deciding factor.
And health. I mean, he also needs
to be. Oh, and health, of course.
I mean, he wasn't even there last playoffs.
For everybody. Like
for
Seth Curry.
Embiid, too. Embiid
is struggling post-COVID.
Yeah. And Embiid, you know, Embiid missed those, missed at least one game in the Toronto series. The Toronto series they lost when Kawhi was on the Raptors, right? Didn't he at least miss one game? So
I don't remember. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Oh yeah, he got stomach flu or he got mud butt. Classic. So yeah, that'll be it. Like if you told me that they go in the first round and a smart team like the Raptors or the Celtics figure Simmons out and they can't score enough points, I'd be like, yeah, I saw that.
Right.
But I would say that's probably less likely. Okay. I think they should do good. Yeah.
I would predict they make the Eastern Conference Finals. That would be my prediction. I think they probably will get the one seed, and then they'll probably not have to match up against Brooklyn, and then I think they do. I mean, if you're looking at the East, it's Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and the Sixers, I think. So,
yeah.
I think they got a pretty good chance. Speaking of the Sixers, Borelli, the unstable guy, asks, who would you have picked to start the All-Star game over Kyrie, and why is it Chris Middleton? So the All-Star game Eastern Conference backcourt came out. It's going to be Beal and Kyrie. The starters are chosen by a combination of the fans, the players, and the media. And so the fans had Beal and Irving. The players had Beal and Irving. The media had Irving fourth. And Jaylen Brown in there instead of Kyrie. Me personally, I think I would have had Harden just because he's the best player, even despite all the Houston stuff. You know, despite him, you know, eating his way out of Houston, he's just like the best player. So I would probably have to go with Beal and Harden as the starters. But I don't know. Not Chris Middleton. I don't care about Chris Middleton. No one wants to see Chris Middleton.
No. That's fucking Milwaukee Tobias Harris. No one wants that.
Tobias Harris. Yeah, that is.
But come on. I'm going with a guy we already talked about, Julius Randle. He plays enough point guard.
He does.
Doesn't he, Dave? He plays point a forward? Point forward.
He's a better ball handler than, most of our guards. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say him.
Julius Randle is not making the All-Star game, though, right? He's not.
It's so up in the air with those reserves. I don't know. But because it's up to the coaches and it's Tibbs, Tibbs has said to the media that he's not going to be, like, pushing to other coaches for him. But I think that's bullshit. I think coach is going to coach. And I think, like, he's going to make some phone calls and –
So you have.
This is the thing that's different in the NBA as opposed to other sports like All-Star games is that like it's pretty crazy how few guys make it every year, and in such a saturated like league of talent. So if he doesn't make it, it's not the end of the world. But I do actually, not just being a homer, I do think he's going to make it.
So I want him to make it because then we'll have a bunch of former Lakers that have made All-Star games. D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, and Julius Randle. And I would argue all of them are completely fake All-Stars. Like, it's they all were in Eastern Conference. And then
this is the thing of, that I do think is makes him most deserving is that, like I said before, they would be the Wolves without him. Like, has been such an incredibly invaluable person. And a lot of the advanced stats, like, like him way more than people like fucking Tatum. You know, so I think he is absolutely deserving.
You heard it here first. Julius Randle, better than Jason Tatum. You heard that on the, put
Jason
that on
Tatum,
iTunes.
Only 14 years old, but not as good.
Yeah.
I would honorable mention, I would probably say Zach LaVine.
Yeah, well, Zach LaVine, it was he was fourth on the on this list. So the fans had him fourth, the players had him third, and then the media had him fifth. So.
Yeah.
What did the astrologists have him as? I don't know. Is that they had Kyrie as one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, okay. The Flat Earth Society had Kyrie as one.
Leo season.
He got the walking stick vote.
Yeah, the anti-maskers had him one as well. Lucas asks, Rockets pick is top four protected this year. They are losing game naturally due to injuries and a roster full of scrubs. Should they roll the dice and lose even more games by sitting players, Christian Wood, and rest them? Follow up, what team looks like they are trying to win but should embrace the tank?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, hey, glad that Lucas has electricity.
Shout out to all our
people in Texas struggling. And thank you for making sure your phone is charged to be on the Patreon. That's like the most important thing. Yeah, please. Like this is the most important thing.
You got to get that. Got to get that power to hook into hook into the WhatsApp. What's interesting is like just looking at the lottery odds, like how flat they are. So it's like the worst. The if you have the worst record, you basically have a 50-50 chance at a top four pick. Like 50% of the time you get a top four pick, 50% of the time you get the fifth pick. So it's not that good. And Houston right now, they're tied for sixth. They have about a 35% chance to get the top, get in, into the top four. So it's like, you know, the tanking that they would need to do to go from, you know, sixth to last, is it worth 15 percentage points? I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like you should probably just keep playing and you'll probably stay where you are. You don't really want to move up, though. You don't want to move up to say like Sacramento has the ninth worst record. They only have a 14% chance to get into the top four. So it's basically the drop off is not from like 1-2 or 2-3. The drop off is really from like, you know, having one of the worst five records to being having like one of the worst tens, like that 1-5 range versus the 6-10 range. So you kind of want to be in the bottom five, bottom six, but as long as you're there, it's pretty much even. So I would say for the Rockets, yeah, just make sure you're in the bottom six and you might hold on to that pick. But it's probably not worth it. I mean, you're not going to out tank, you know, Minnesota or Detroit. Like those teams are just going to be bad. Orlando, I mean, Washington or Orlando look like they're probably going the other way too. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think the new tanking is not so much on your position in the draft, but it's clearing
sure
cap space.
In the lottery.
And clearing cap space. I don't think it's necessarily like you should get rid of your bad players. Like, I don't think it's back like in the Sixers day where it's like, we got to get rid of everyone so we can guarantee a bottom spot. But I think it's more of like, let's clear cap room and get more assets and more draft picks.
Well, they're going to
try a bunch.
They're going to trade Oladipo like at the deadline and they'll get more assets through that. And of course they have all the picks that are going to be coming over from the Nets. So they're going to be pretty good asset wise. And I think it's important to have Christian Wood like not sitting too much. Like you want him to keep developing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I think the tanking now is like going from, you know, if you're like just outside the playoffs, that's when you really want to move down. If you're not making the playoffs or the play-in tournament, you just want to, you know, throttle down to like, you know, the bottom five. Yeah. That's where we may see tanking.
The Pelicans, like the year they got Zion, like, prove that you don't have to be like the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, like last year, I feel like there was a team that jumped up. Didn't Minnesota? I mean, Minnesota didn't have the worst record last year. They got the number one pick.
Yeah,
completely messed up,
squandered it.
But Charlotte, I mean, I don't think Charlotte had that terrible record. Charlotte jumped up. Mm-hmm. Golden State had a terrible. I mean, Golden State, you know, basically stayed where they were. In terms of teams that should tank, I mean, if you're the Wizards, you should definitely tank. I mean, like, I don't know what the Wizards continue to confound. I mean, you have the most, basically you have the one star that's going to be available in the next probably 2 years that, you know, could fetch a king's ransom. So you basically, since you have that guy, you can make all those teams that want the last piece bid against each other, and you should be able to get like a massive haul for Beal. And you should they should absolutely tank. The Magic, I think the Magic probably should tank.
I think the Mavericks should probably tank.
I have the Mavericks because the Mavericks are currently out of the playoffs. What is there protection on the pick that they owe to the Knicks, or is it unprotected? No,
it's unprotected.
It's unprotected?
Yeah. keep playing, babe.
Oh man. Oh man, that is rough. That is rough for the
Mavs. that is the like the last thing I'll say about the Knicks this pod, but that is the ultimate goal this season would be make the playoffs. You know, give the young guys some playoff experience and get a lottery pick from the Mavericks.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
The other team that I was thinking should maybe experiment with tanking, like right now they think they're ninth, is the Kings. Because if you're the Kings, you're like, okay, we got De'Aaron Fox, Halliburton. That's kind of like, whatever, our backcourt of the future. We got those guys. Let's try to get higher up in the lottery to get kind of the next piece. And also, one of the ways you could do that is just by playing Marvin Bagley a ton, who's like awful. And it would kind of accomplish the goals of tanking, but also, do you actually have anything? Is this guy a total bust, or is there anything you know, that you have with Bagley? And they, I mean, they are playing him, but I would just basically play him more.
I mean, and then also you could play him and Whiteside together.
Yeah, you can move on from Barnes. Like, you could trade Barnes maybe for something, trade Heald for something, and then see what you have in Bagley. Like that. If I were running the Kings, that's kind of the direction I would tank them. I would tank them down. To hope to get that final piece in this year's draft.
I'd be worried of playing Bagley so much that he has no value.
It's almost
a mystery. True. Like, hey,
but
look,
do you think he has any value now? Like, I think it's the Fultz situation where I think his value is probably a second round pick. So I don't know.
Oh, we got a first for Fultz.
We got a fake first.
No, it paid off.
Did it end up being a first? I don't believe that.
No, I think that's how we got Maxey, right? I could be wrong. So it's going to be someone in the Patreon is going to correct me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think you would have to do the, like, take back some salary, send Bagley. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing, plus a first, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Bagley, ugh.
They're kind of surging, though. I mean, they might be in the play-in, that team. I don't know.
Yeah, my thing with the Kings is I don't think they should tank because they got some good players. Like, but I think they need to move on from Heald or Barnes to allow Halliburton to start.
No, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's not necessarily tanking.
Those are the pieces you can.
Yeah, you're shifting to Halliburton and Fox and maybe Holmes as you're like, these are our guys going forward. So
yeah.
Okay. Darren asks, this isn't a question, but I would love to hear your guys' best party hangover stories from college. Wow. Ooh. Wow.
This one, man. I love the question. I've been trying to give it some thought, but it's just impossible to choose.
Well, my issue is I forget everything. And like people will, I'll be like hanging out with my college buddies and they'll tell me a story and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I kind of remember that, but it's like, so, there's so
many. I kind of remember being in the Japanese mayor's office naked.
I do remember that.
I don't remember.
So my favorite college story is I had this buddy, Pat, and he did this thing where he rushed every fraternity in character. So he invented a character called Russ McCarthy. He was Russ McCarthy from Perth, Australia. He was an exchange student. And so he rushed every fraternity as his character. And I went with him one time as a character. I pretended to be a European exchange student from Rotterdam. I pretended to be... I used like this ridiculous accent. I was like, I'm Hansen Voinkel from Rotterdam. And I dressed like... I had like an I Love New York shirt on. I had like really high shorts. And then I had like... socks with Birkenstocks. And so me and him, we rushed this fraternity in character, like as these two foreign exchange students. And it was like a Borat stunt, like before Borat, where we had to stay in character the whole time. So like even when we were talking to each other, just at this frat get together, we had to have these fake conversations as if we were foreign exchange students. And yeah, I don't know. It was just like the frat, like they totally bought, they were like totally into us. Cause my buddy Pat is like super good looking, like super cool guy, you know? And he's like pretending to be Russ McCarthy from Perth, Australia. But I just remember them like being, it was like so stereotypical. Like, I don't know if all fraternities are like this, but they were like so stereotypically racist. Like they were just like, they'd show us like video. They brought us upstairs and they showed us like videos of their parties, you know? And there would be like, there would be a minority at the party. They're like, don't worry, that guy's not in the frat. We're like, yeah, no, it was that was crazy. That was one of my fondest memories. And then also, Pat had rushed so many fraternities as Russ McCarthy that people knew him on campus as Russ McCarthy.
That's Russ.
And I was later at a party with him where it was like a loud party, and the person on his left thought he knew him as Pat, and the person on his right knew him as Russ McCarthy, and he was switching between conversations, switching his accent. It was like. You know, it was masterful. So, and he also hooked up with a girl as Russ McCarthy. So,
just lying to women. I love it.
Yeah, Pat. You know, Pat. I definitely doesn't listen to this, but he's
Pat. That's Pat for you, man.
Dude, he was kind of a legend.
Yeah.
Well, he was also a he wasn't even an undergrad. He was a grad student.
Oh my god.
But he just looked
creepier.
He looked. He was probably like 4 years older than I was, but he looked. You know, he looked like same age. So.
Yeah, but that's because of you, right?
Right. Yeah.
This is a good question because recently I'm on a group text with my college buddies, and one uploaded all the photos from college, which is only like 75 photos because,
right.
Because in our day, you literally had to like, if you thought you were going out, you'd go to the 7-Eleven, get a disposable camera, and you had 24 shots at this and hopefully the flash worked. A lot of good stories. A lot I can't tell because we're in a cancel culture, and I just can't do that. And I have a good job, and I'm not trying to get canceled. Admitting to everyone I used to hang out with racist frats like Matt did and hook up with girls based on lies. Younger girls based on lies. This dude was probably hooking up with 18-year-old girls lying about who he was.
It wasn't me. Secondly, it was the frat. I didn't join the frat. So
just associating with them.
Well, we were pranking them, John. We were literally playing a prank on them. We were making them look foolish.
I'm definitely 18 too.
Yeah. Hey.
Look, girls were lining up to hook up. This guy was one of the hottest dudes on campus. Girls were lying. I mean, he was, you know, yeah. So he had no problems with
all right, you got me. Okay, I'm 19.
He was like 25. Come on.
I think you forget like what a huge gap that is.
Well, he wasn't hooking up with 18-year-olds. He was hooking up with like 21-year-olds. So.
And who knows? Those girls could have been lying themselves. They could have been grad students, you know? They all could have been playing a bit. We don't know.
Sure.
No. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, a quick one. One of my favorite things is there was this frat that always threw Thursday night parties, right? Mm-hmm. And we would always go into their party. And like me and my crew were terrible people. Like we were just bad people.
I thought you were trying to not get canceled, John.
Yeah. But we would, my two friends were really, really good at taking over a party. Like you would go to the party and within minutes, they would be behind the bar running the keg. And you're like, how is this possible? Right? And it'd be great because then you'd just like walk up to line, like, you know, a frat party with a keg, it's impossible to get a drink. But I would just, like, toss my cup to, like, Bill, and he would just, like, fill it up because he somehow became the bartender within minutes. But this one house, you know how, like, Matt, you never had a basement. You don't understand this. But the parties would be in a basement, which is, like, a house, which is, like, a cinder block underneath a house.
I know what a basement is. Oh, okay. I actually had a basement growing up. So
whoa. Like, what? Oh, is that where you stored your extra yacht parts?
No, this was we lived in Pasadena. We lived in near Pasadena, Sierra Madre. Okay. And the house was built, I think, in 1905, and it, for some reason, it had a basement.
Okay.
It was before when the settlers didn't know California had good weather yet, so they came out here. They're like, "Well, we're from the East Coast, so we put these basements in."
Wait, we don't need a furnace.
Yeah,
we need a furnace for.
So, in the basement, but like if you had like there was a grate above us, right, to let air through, like a duct. And what we would do in the party is push the grate up and take it. So there was there'd be a hole just in the hallway. So every party would be standing there and someone would walk and literally just like fall through the hole with one leg.
John, I must reiterate. I thought you were trying to not get canceled.
So people would fall through this grate.
John's building booby traps trying to murder people.
And so imagine you're just like going to the bathroom or going to this party and you're walking and then all of a sudden you just like fall through a sinkhole. And of course, we would grab your leg and not let you get out. So we'd grab, so it'd just be a poor person like, help, I fell through a hole.
Dang.
And we did it for a couple weeks to the point that the frat finally put a giant desk over the grate so no one could do it. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
And then then about a few months later, we just fist fought the whole frat. And then that was it.
Okay. Mm. Great. Great.
So that is the story I feel comfortable telling people.
That's the best one. That's just a little one. Just a little light assault is a light bodily harm is your most comfortable
that's
story.
The one
okay
that I feel
right.
comfortable explaining.
I will say I also remember I just remembered one detail is that I said I was from Rotterdam, but then I realized halfway through the rushing the fraternity I had no idea which country Rotterdam was in, and so I didn't know what nationality I was. And then there was some guy who had like been
actually Dutch or
I think it's in Holland. Yeah. So, but someone had actually been there and was asking me questions about Rotterdam, and I was like, Pat, please help me out. Pat, get me out of this conversation. I know nothing about Rotterdam.
That happened. So we used to do the same thing. We used to rush at Carnegie Mellon up the street. Because they wouldn't know us, you know, and they were like a bunch of computer nerds. So they would always like, and they had money. So they, rushing there was like great. And someone told me, like, just say you live in the Donner building. That's where the freshmen live. And someone asked, and I was like, yeah, Donner. And they're like, where? And I said, oh, fourth floor. And they're like,
it's three floors.
I don't think the Donner building has four floors. I think it's three. And I just like stared and go, I'm really wasted. College. And they were like, it happens to the best of them. And I was like,
everyone forgets where they live.
Everyone forgets.
Now we knew where we lived. There was an international students hall. We knew all about it. So
damn.
We had that one covered. We covered our bases beforehand, me and Pat.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Dave, you have any college stories?
I mean, like John, most of them I do absolutely cannot tell on here. But my 21st birthday was memorable because it involves NYPD and the FDNY, fire department. So I was known in college for getting wasted and then disappearing at parties, like just like going up, like just disappearing.
You
like,
fell down a hole. fell down one of John's holes.
Yeah, all these fucking grates, all these open grates. Too many grates in New York. No, I would like disappear. I'd be like, I would just like be over parties. I'd be like, well, I'm not getting laid tonight. I'm just going to go order three pizzas and fucking, you know, dip them in ranch dressing and watch, you know, Arrested Development by myself. So I
did
would
they call
disappear.
It an Irish goodbye? Sorry.
Yes. Irish goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that was kind of my thing. So on my 21st birthday, you know, I got fucking every single person's buying me a shot. I probably had like, I honestly probably had at least 15 shots, if not more.
Oh.
And so I was just like, I was wasted by like 10 p.m. And I disappeared from my own party. And I'm walking home on the Upper East Side in Manhattan. I have to pee so fucking bad. I'm still like blocks away from my apartment. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pee in this alley. As soon as I like take my dick out to start peeing, two female NYPD cops just like happen to walk by. Like it was like they were like waiting for me to take my dick out.
Somebody expert that. Yeah, it's two female cops. They were just waiting. They were just waiting for it.
Please don't cancel me.
Yeah, Dave's canceled.
So they're like, hey, what's going on here? And I'm like, it's my 21st birthday. I had to pee. And they're like, they're just such dicks to me. They write me, first of all, they're like grilling me for like half an hour. Then they finally let me go. They write me a ticket. Which I still haven't paid.
Probably
a warrant out for my arrest from 2005. But so then I'm like, oh fuck. So they leave and I actually like peed when they left.
You just helped.
And then I ran out of the alley, and I get home, like, I order food. The food comes, and, like, after that, it's so blurry. I wake up in the morning. My roommates, like, will not talk to me. They're, like, all pissed off. One of them is, like, way more pissed off than the other one is. And then eventually, like, the one who's a little less pissed off is, like, you know what you did Ugh. Last night? I Ugh. Was, like, what? Bro, like, you flooded the entire apartment building. Two fire trucks came. I must have, like, puked. And, like, I, like, stopped up the toilet. And we were on the fifth floor in a 5-4 walk-up.
Oh.
So, like, the whole apartment, like, dude, the poor there was, like, a newlywed couple right below us. And we were fucking monsters. Like, we had so many parties and shit. And, like, we were so loud and, like, horrible. Like, their bedroom was below our bathroom.
Oh.
So, like, they had all this, like, property damage and shit. Like, and two fire trucks had to come. So within, like, the same night, I forced, like, NYPD and FDNY to, like, do shit, like, that they, like, you know, shouldn't have been doing. Like, they should have been out, like, actually helping people.
you're admitting to being a sex offender because public urination.
Yeah, public
sex urination. Offender, and you destroyed an entire building.
So. Whoa!
I love how both of you guys are trying not to get canceled, and you're I'm a sex offender, and I, destroyed a building.
The only people that saw me take my dick out were law enforcement.
Yeah.
So if anything, it was for the people.
Yeah, which legally you have to do if they ask.
Right.
We see now that the NYPD is a bunch of dickheads. So it was just like
Yeah, man, you were fighting this back in the day.
Yeah, I was ahead of my time.
Right?
My friend Zach. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he peed on a cop car outside of Harbor House one night, which was pretty amazing.
Come on, that's fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
So memorable 21st birthday, and I've never. You want to talk about hangover stories? Like, I've never had a worse morning. The two worst hangovers I've had were not because I was so hungover, but that, just feeling horrible. And then I was hungover once when I was 19 in college. And the next morning, I would often, like, go play basketball at the local park, like, play pickup on Saturdays. And I was running and diving to save the ball. And I was running so hard that I couldn't catch myself, and I went headfirst into a wrought iron fence and, like, busted my head open. to this day, once my hair, like, finally falls out, I'm gonna have, like, you'll see, like, two huge scars going, like, all the way down my skull.
And oh, but that's from when you got your horns removed, though, right?
Come on,
it's a callback. It's a callback.
Come on, you gotta be a cute girl in Sacramento to make that joke. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, I thought Matt was talking about the frats he rushed.
Okay, well, trust me. That was just the tip of the
I'm from Rotterdam. I really hate Jews. What's up with these Jewish girls on campus with their horns?
No, they also, this Matt also told us about, you know, like, frats supposed to do community service. They're like, don't worry, like, Billy, he, like, works for some nonprofit. He signs us all off that we have a ton of hours, so don't worry. That's actually not a real thing. Like, you don't have to do that. I was like, good.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You can't get canceled for your past if you're canceled for your future.
What do you mean? Okay.
Wait.
What? I'm just saying, like, huh? No one's going to be pissed at our college stories. Dave's making European Jew jokes right now. Like,
We're good. All right. Bob Johnson asks. Shout out to Bob Johnson. We'll get to him later. Yes, which NBA players are enjoying the removal of weed, THET testing, the most this season?
Well, I would say probably Jonathan Isaac, because he just thinks weed is the devil's drug.
Does he think that? Is he anti-weed?
Isn't he super religious?
Well, you could be super religious and still like weed, though. I mean, I don't know.
Can you though?
No.
I used to know a ton in college. Maybe it's a Southern California thing, but I knew guys who were religious that smoked weed.
Yeah, but he's like religious, like Bible study religious. Like he's not religious. Like, I'm spiritual. Like, he's like real. Like, isn't he like a virgin still? Like, saving himself for marriage.
Yeah.
Like, he's like that kind of
religious. Yeah, that dude don't like weed.
No, that dude, he can't be. That's devil grass. I don't dabble too much in the weed
because it just makes me quiet. And you know me, I like to interrupt people, so it like kind of takes away.
We partook on our Sacramento trip together.
Well, that's why. We were like, we can't do a whole week in a Matt talking.
But I don't even. I don't slow him down.
We got to slow him down.
I don't even think I got high. I don't remember feeling that much.
Nobody was talking when we were stoned eating those burgers. Those delicious burgers.
Oh, that's true. We were a little stoned. We were still watching eating those burgers. That was watching Lonzo Ball light up the San Antonio Spurs.
That's right.
That was the high point of Lonzo's career and just my life. It's not been great since. Probably all the players, most of the players. Yeah. But have you ever played basketball on weed? Does it make you better? Yeah. Does it make you worse?
I haven't done it since I was in college, but I used to do it before I played in college all the time, and I found that it made me more focused as a player. I don't know.
I've heard some people say that they play better. I remember I do know playing after you've drank a ton is like impossible. Like playing drunk is like the worst thing ever.
Also, like I would imagine like it would also make you more winded. I mean like we typically depending on what strain you're smoking or consuming, like it makes you kind of lethargic. So I would imagine it would affect your motor.
Yeah, I can't do, like, some people could be like, oh, I'm going to get high and then go work out or, like, do a whole bunch of stuff. Or, like, a lot of people get high and drive, spend the whole day high. Like, I can't do that. Like, mine's, like, it's the end of the night. I'm not going anywhere. Or I'm at a party. Like, I couldn't play high.
Should we talk right now about CBD is better? Should we just segue?
Well, that's a great segue.
Segue into CBD is better? So our official sponsor of the Super Hooper, CBD
new
is better.
Sponsor, yeah,
new
talked
sponsor
about it last week.
And listeners, longtime listeners know about our approach to sponsors. You've heard us mumble through ad reads. You've heard me directly go after other podcast sponsors like Casper Mattress and such and whatever the what's the thing where they deliver the food to your house, Blue Apron, all that bullshit.
We usually roast our sponsors. So.
We usually roast. Yeah. This is the first sponsor that we actually want you guys to buy. This is the first one that we actually can recommend. We have a promo code, Hoopers. So if you do get something from CBD is Better, so go to CBDisBetter.com. You could buy the weed gummies. They have various pills that you could take.
All vegan, all clean.
I don't care about that. But, other people
might.
So go there, get some hook yourself up with some CBD or some gummies. They also
tell me what you guys do. They sent us a bunch. Haven't done the gels yet, but I did partake in one of the Delta 8 gummies and fantastic. I'm not a big smoker these days. I used to be a big pothead, but I do like the gummies, and so I take I take them from like time to time over the weekend usually, and I found that these, like with other gummies, you kind of come down a little bit, you get a little groggy like when like it's kind of fading, and I didn't feel that at all from this. And I'm not just saying that because they're our sponsor, but I thought it was like a very clear, like very nice high. So the Delta 8 gummies are. Highly recommended.
I'll probably try those this weekend. They also sent, like I said, they sent us the pills. One of them is for...
They're 25 milligrams, though, so just take a half to start.
Take a half. I know. I'm not trying to pass out like we did at Nate Cornett's bachelor party.
Who knows what you would do with the Legos if you took the whole one?
Dude, oh, man. Let me tell you. But they got the CBD for boners. So they have some boner pills.
I'm really excited
for that too. I'm gonna take those next week. So
get that baby monitor out, get the tumbler going.
Fire up the tumbler, get the Legos.
Get that X-wing out and you'll think that you're in that Lego X-wing.
Anyways, CBD is better. John, you have something?
Yeah, I took the CBD is better. They have different brands or different styles. I took the everyday one.
Uh-huh.
And enjoyed that. I thought that was nice. I haven't done the Delta 8, which is
the gummy.
That comes with the THC.
Yeah.
That's the one. But I've decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I don't know if I can do it this weekend, but soon, I'm going to take a Delta 8 is better and then rewatch Mad Max Fury Road. and I will say, because I've only watched it once, and all my opinions are based off the one time I watch it. I'm going to rewatch it with Delta 8 is better, and I'll give another opinion. Well, either I'll enjoy it, or I'll double down on my take, but make sure you go to the website and check it out, guys. CBDisBetter.com. Promo code Hoopers. And the owner is a Hoopers fan. That's how
Big fan of him. So
yeah, yeah. This is great.
Yeah, this is great. This is our first real sponsor. First one we actually believe in.
Yeah.
Sorry. All the ads that were inserted into this podcast, we also stand 100% behind those.
Yes, please. Sorry about that. Keep clicking.
Last question that I have. Last shitty. This is a question for John. John, how do I prevent cooking oil from splattering all over my stove when I cook?
Yeah, this is from Lash City. Funny, because last night I splattered all over the place. Couple things. One,
you do tinfoil.
You can do tinfoil. There's a couple things I would say. One, you're probably using too much oil in a pan that isn't high enough. Use higher sides. Use the flame that is closest to the backsplash, because that way it splashes backwards and on the wall, and it's easy cleanup. And there's also a thing that you can buy on Amazon, very cheap, but it's like a mesh screen. It's like a 12-inch mesh screen that you just put over your fry pot, and it catches all the grease. I grew up using one. I don't think a lot of people know about them, but no. I don't know if it's an Asian thing or what, but my mom always used it, and that prevents a lot.
As somebody who doesn't do the cooking but does the cleaning, I could tell you that my in-laws do not know about this thing.
So. Okay, there you go. There you go. Actually, my biggest cleaning cooking tip is, if you meant the problem with cleaning, why people hate cleaning is because by the end you have so many dishes.
Right.
It's like a massive thing. So what I now do, and this has helped greatly, is clean things as you cook.
Absolutely. Yep.
So like, if you use the chopping board and your knife and you did all the vegetables and you throw it in the pan, while that, you have 10 minutes while that thing cooks. That's when you just wash your knife, like just make the cooking process, put more effort into that. So it's not at the like end where you're like, fuck, I don't want to do all these dishes. Like just chip away at it. And then by the end you're like, oh, I have like two plates to clean, and then it's easy. And then go,
go Papa CBD is better. Papa Delta 8.
I might need the full one for Fury Road.
All right. half at the beginning. So as you've explained in Fury Road, and they just drive there and drive back. So take half when they leave, half when they're heading back.
Yeah,
well, John's tolerance is also higher. So you may want to take the food.
Yeah, I'm hoping the gummy really hits when they go back to the same plot point as before, and maybe
it'll be brand new to you.
Yeah, I'll be like, what? What are these rocks? Whoa, this is brilliant storytelling.
Okay. All right.
Did you not see?
There should be some more questions.
I just saw those seven. Sorry, there's more.
The Instagram ones from
Eddie Paz.
Eddie Paz.
Okay, all right.
Do you know Eddie?
No, why?
I remember he said that he followed us on Twitter, and then he got rid of Twitter, and he was only going to be on Instagram. And he critiques us a lot. On Instagram, he'll just go to our most recent Instagram post and critique the latest pod. So he's an active Instagram fan.
Okay. What is his questions?
I sent them later.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. These are the images.
They're good. We can do them like rapid fire, because he asked a lot.
Is he married to the Irish? Is that him?
Yes, that's him.
Okay, all right. John, what disturbed you more, Matt's baby monitor story or Dave's vomit kiss story?
Ooh, wow. It's this is a tough one. Matt's dick or Dave abusing a high school girl?
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Probably Dave.
Rapid fire.
Yep.
Okay. And if you don't mind a basketball question on your economics and pop culture pod, who are you going to support in the Lakers Nets final series we're going to end up with? Ooh, man. Ooh, Lakers finals. That would be.
I got to go Lakers. I was like thinking about this last night because the Lakers and Nets played last night. It's really hard, but I'd have to go Lakers. Have to go Lakers. Yeah. It's like we've already experienced them winning already. It's like I've kind of already come to terms with the fact that they're successful. Like I can't have the Nets like work out.
And the advantage of the Lakers winning is it diminishes the Celtics titles because then they have the more titles than the Celtics. So
yeah.
It pisses off Celtics fans. So I would definitely root for the Lakers in the Lakers Nets.
Yeah.
I would actually that's not even that hard for me, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think and I would take the parade. We missed a parade last year. I want to parade in LA. Get that vaccine and let me
tell you, there's going to be no parade. We need to adjust our thinking about the coronavirus is here to stay for a long time. We're never getting to zero.
Boo.
We're never getting to zero. So
that's fine.
Sorry to burst everyone's bubble.
Last one, Dave. What is worse, John's takes on films or Matt's take on food?
Oh, Matt's take on food.
Thank you.
Not even close.
Awesome.
Oh yeah. Close. Sorry. I'm not
going to die on the Fury Road train. Just in spite of John for that. I care too much about food, and Matt's disgust with good food is horrifying.
It is.
I like good food. We're talking about. I like good food,
especially for somebody as worldly as you. Horrified.
I like good food. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll never be able to look at you the same way after finding out that you went to Subway in New Orleans.
I was by myself, Dave. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to go to restaurants by myself.
You know how many restaurants in New Orleans I went to by myself when I was visiting my wife when she was working?
But you're a loser. Like, I mean, like, I have appearances to upkeep, okay? Like, I can't.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm definitely happy with my decision.
Bro, if you told me you went to like Jimmy John's, I'd be fine with it. If you're I went to Chick-fil-A, I'd be like, all right, there's more creative.
No, I don't like Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A is gross. So
I kind of agree with that take.
Chick-fil-A, I don't think it's gross. I think it's way overrated and also
so overrated.
And fuck their politics. But Subway, like, I wouldn't go to Subway in L.A. Like, fuck Subway.
No,
like,
I would never. Ugh. I mean, Subway's the most disgusting.
I don't think Subway's good, but, you know.
You can go to Jersey Mike's or Jimmy John's, why would you go to Subway?
Aussie and I actually go to Jersey Mike. We were when the lockdown happened, you couldn't go to restaurants anymore. Aussie and I were going to Jersey Mike's every Friday night because it was it was the only place that had like takeout near us. So, yeah. All right. John, would you rather listen to Dave talk pop culture for 30 minutes or Matt talk economics for 3 minutes?
I actually like your economics takes. I don't hate either. I think Dave's, I would say less pop culture with Dave. I prefer Dave's knowledge in older music, if we call that pop culture. I would listen to Dave talk soul music and jazz forever. I think that's really great.
Yeah. And I don't, Dave has good like TV show recommendations and stuff.
Yeah, I think Dave's great at it.
I got no problem with Dave's
pop culture
takes.
And I like your economics
takes. 30 minutes though.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And, you know, like this pod, I kind of zone in and out of it, you know. So.
You're right. I mean, I zoned out. For you guys were talking about cleaning kitchens for like however long. I was gone. I popped a Delta 8 and I was out for that. And then this is the last one. Matt, would you rather listen to Dave talk Knicks for 30 minutes or John talk Sixers for 30 minutes? Well, to be honest, I much prefer Dave's Knicks talks because I love to just interject making fun of the Knicks. It's hard to interject and make fun of the Sixers these days. So I love to drag the Knicks.
And also, 30 minutes of Knicks talks, 30 minutes of Sixers is literally every Super Hoopers podcast.
I know. It's like, so would you rather listen to the first half of Super Hoopers or the second half of Super Hoopers? All right. Now we can get to shoutouts and beef. Sorry, I didn't see those Instagram.
Yeah, no. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes us not have to do work. I love it.
Yeah. We went so long. I don't think we're even gonna get to what the other topics we have prepared. So we just have shout outs and beefs. I'm beefing with my voice changed there for some reason. I'm beefing with just
puberty?
Menopause?
Menopause?
Nah, come on.
Menopause.
I'm just beefing with the NBA viewer ecosystem in general. Last night, I couldn't watch the TNT games, like for whatever reason, I couldn't. I have like cable for my grandma that I can sign in to watch TNT online. Wasn't working. Hasn't been working all week for whatever reason. I have no idea. And then my League Pass, the volume, it automatically mutes itself. So if you set it up on the TV, like after 5 minutes, it'll just mute itself for some reason. So I don't know what's going on, but it's basically impossible to watch a game. But just in general, their product is so hard to watch. It's like, imagine you're a basketball junkie, you sign up for League Pass, well, you can't watch your local teams. Or you have to have some other cable thing to watch your local teams.
Right.
It's just like a non-intuitive product. It's just like they are making it so hard for themselves. And there was a podcast today from Ethan Strauss, kind of like actually going over the ratings numbers. Like, the NBA has lost 50%, half of its viewers in the past 5 years. So,
is that because, like, so many people are just getting illegal Reddit like streams?
Well, I think those numbers are pretty. I mean, there's what annoys me about our current world is whenever somebody sees something happening, they immediately think there's one explanation that explains it all. With a 50% drop in ratings, it's obviously multi-causal. There's obviously some numerous things going on. And I would suspect, yeah, young people not having cable and streaming it or illegally downloading it is one problem. But I suspect there's also a lot of young people who watched it growing up in their parents' house on cable, moved to college or moved out and never got cable and just don't care enough to go through the hoops to get it illegally. So I do think this viewership problem is a big deal, that basically the NBA is burying their head in the sand. And I think part of the problem is just how effing hard it is to watch their games. It's just like, we know
And even outside of the blackouts, the app is such trash. Like, I have the MLB app, like, and I watch baseball games on there. It's been great for like a decade now. Like, there's no reason to have your app at this point be so shitty. Half the time, like, the MSG broadcast for the Knicks games, like, the audio is out of sync for the first half. Or it's, like, constantly, like, buffering and shit. Like, it's so bad. Like, improve that shit.
What we know is that people will actually pay for things if it's easy. If it's easy and simple, the people pay for it. Like, you know, people were pirating movies like crazy until Netflix. Oh, you know what? $8.99 a month and it's super easy, nice interface? Yeah, no problem. People were pirating music like crazy until Spotify. Oh, you know what? It's super easy. Like, I sign up, I get all the music I want. Like, if the NBA just made this easy, you know, like, people would do it. I understand there's all these difficulties with their cable deals and the regional networks, that's why they don't. But it's like, this is a problem that's going to hit them like 10 years from now when, like, they don't have any fans. So,
but okay, a couple things. One, the blackout stuff is all old contracts with cable. And that's like I know people complain about it because I'm the same way. I can't watch Clippers games or Lakers games. It's insane. But that's like one of these things that was just been like, they signed 10-year contracts, 20-year contracts with local cable, and like, if you're a local channel, you're selling the Lakers game. You don't want to give that away for
free. No, I understand why it's there. I'm just saying
a lot of it's yeah.
No, I understand, but I mean, like, the league needs to think about that when these contracts come up, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely, like, very, very important. But what's weird is, I'm looking up now, does BAM Tech... So, BAM Tech was the company that did MLB. I thought they did they switched to the NBA, too. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I'm just beefing because it's, like, is really hard for me to watch games now. So, I actually might even cancel League Pass because I'm like... Look, if the thing is going to automatically mute, so...
Well, I'll say that I think for some reason this year's League Pass is worse than last year's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never had these audio issues like I'm having this year.
Apparently nobody's having them because I kept Googling and I couldn't find anybody else having them. And, of course, on the NBA League Pass, there's no like help center or anything where I can like...
No, they're actually... Well, not on the... I contacted their League Pass help on Twitter... And I went back and forth with some fucking person probably, you know, a million miles away from here. And they gave me all these, like, troubleshooting things, like, that I obviously already tried. Like, oh, do you have, like, the current version? And, like, have you tried, like, rebooting your device and all that shit? And then finally they told me, like, oh, clear your cache. And I did all that shit. Didn't do a goddamn thing. So contacting their support does absolutely nothing. It just gives the appearance that they're like helping you. So,
Okay, all right. I figured it out. BAMTech, which was MLB, and then Disney bought. They do not do the NBA. That's very obvious.
it's very obvious. Which, it's like, I'm sorry. Like, you don't need that specific company to create your interface. Like,
I would say you do. Look, so BAMTech does ESPN Plus, HBO Now, PlayStation View, Watch ESPN, WWE.
The ESPN app is trash too.
I don't mind the ESPN app.
It looks nice, but it also has so many issues.
So Watch ESPN is currently the only thing that's working for me when in terms of games. So,
a lot of these apps are like really pretty bad. Like the NBC app is bad.
Yeah.
The TNT app is spotty.
I'm always shocked by just how much better Netflix is, their interface, than everyone else. And I'm like, why are you guys just not copying Netflix? Like I go, I'm watching, you know, Black Sails on Hulu, and I'm like, why is this, why are they just not doing exactly what Netflix is doing?
Well, I think the reason is, remember, Netflix was a tech company.
No, I know.
Like,
yeah,
it's a big tech company. And then, like, think about it. Like, I will say, like you said, NBC just put out Peacock, their streaming service, like, this year.
Yeah, no,
it's still brand new. We're still at like web point one. We're still on.
Well, there's a total cultural difference. Like Netflix is a tech company. These are entertainment companies. And I actually had a friend who worked for Hulu who was like, "Yeah, it's like an old boys like frat guy type of place where the cool guys get promoted, not the people who actually know what they're doing. It's like the guy who goes golfing with the CEO gets promoted, not." And Netflix is not like that at all. Netflix is like purely run on competence. So
yeah, and like. I'm not talking about the large corporation I work at, but large corporations sometimes have older people in charge that don't understand technology.
Yes.
Like there are literally people that are in charge of a lot of the stuff you watch that just like refuse to use email. Like they're still old school handshake contract people. And then what happens is you sign these things with like cable channels and all these things, and you go, hey, did you guys remember the app? And they're like, oh yeah, whatever, we'll figure that out later. And you're like, no, don't figure that out later. That's what everyone's watching. And it's like, nah.
Yeah,
here's what you do. You watch MSG, you put on Johnny Carson afterwards, and that's how like the world works, you know? Right. So that's going to be the industry forever, you know, for a long, long time.
It's a fair beef, and it's like a beef that like you see more and more like big NBA Twitter people like complaining about. So like, hopefully something's done in the next couple of years.
I would recommend that Strauss podcast because I had not really known about the ratings. Like you heard bubble stuff like oh they're down in the bubble, but he was like, let's zoom out, you know. And he had like a guest on who was like covering this too, and it was like, this is a serious problem that the NBA is just burying its head in the sand because. Essentially, they don't have to worry about it because of the scarcity of like live stuff. That their sports, the only thing that people watch live, so it's like their money is secure. Like they're gonna get, you know, it. But it's like their viewership is like, in a free fall. So
I'll check it out because there is a lot of that people get wrong, like, you know, viewership versus like what really matters,
right?
And it is a supply and demand. I mean, that's it. Cable is dying, and the only thing people go to cable for is news and sports.
So you're gonna
rally around those things and probably keep things profitable for a long time.
Well, but everyone is saying like, oh, viewership is down on all these other sports too, and it is, but there's an order of magnitude difference between the NBA and other sports. Like the NBA is really down, whereas these other sports are just down like a little bit. So I personally think there's many causes. I do think a lot of it has to do with the young fan base just not having cable. I'm like not, yeah. you know, just not.
Yeah, just not, that's going to be it for a long for sure. time.
It's just not easy to watch. So
yeah. But hey, right. like I, that's why I keep saying like I wouldn't be surprised if like Amazon just buys the NBA, YouTube buys all the rights
or the rights. Yeah, yeah.
Just to say like, look, you know, like we'll just outpay all these places and we'll just get our share, or at least for like think about it. Like, okay, let's say. ESPN still gets the Friday night games, but the Monday night games, Tuesday games, like if it's on Amazon,
I think Amazon is they mentioned Amazon as like having been interested in the past, and I do think as these streaming wars heat up, it's like it seems like Amazon Prime has kind of like fallen to the back. Like I don't hear that much about shows on Amazon Prime right now. It's like Disney Plus, Netflix.
Whoa!
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry, Dave.
Fuck.
But I could see them making a big splash to try to get their name back out there. So
yeah. Well, they did that with football. Yeah. They have a deal with NFL.
I mean, I like Amazon. I like the streaming service. I think their streaming service it works really well. But there hasn't been a show on there that I've watched in a long time. So.
I have two quick shout outs. One, listen to the latest Knicks Film School podcast. It just had their 300th episode. Even if you're not a Knicks fan, he just had Mike Breen on. It was fantastic. Man, Mike Breen is just what a great dude and awesome guy. So I would listen to that. Shouts to Jonathan Macri. He does such a good job.
Dude, Knicks Film
congrats.
School. Their live stream stuff is...
Oh, that's Knicks Fan TV.
But oh, that's Knicks Fan TV. Oh, okay. Knicks Film School.
But
got it.
The two complement each other very well. His newsletter and his pod are fantastic. And for post game stream, Knicks Fan TV is the fucking best.
Yeah.
I hadn't checked our iTunes in a while, and I was like in our link tree together, and I went to our iTunes, and I noticed that there was a new review. It says. My old fave, 2 stars, had to stop listening because John and Matt legitimately sound like they hate each other. makes for kind of a cringe listen when you can feel the tension, whatever. Dave, my boy, though.
Oh, damn. Damn.
Joe Lemon?
Joe
Lemon? We have any idea who? Or Joe Lemon?
But I will say John and I do legitimately hate each other. So it's not, I mean, it's inaccurate. I mean,
it's very accurate.
The tension is palpable. So.
Yeah. Change that to 5 stars for your accuracy.
Yeah, change it. Like, we always say this on the Sopranos pod, and we've guilted people into changing their reviews back. Say what you want about the pod. You trash the shit out of it, but give us 5 stars. Come on.
Yeah,
come
like on, if guys. You like Dave, give him 5 stars.
Yeah.
And don't worry about us.
Come on. Yeah, I have to go to iTunes now.
He just likes me because I talk the least.
Yeah. It's probably because our fighting over Robin Hood. Did you guys see the congressional hearing going on?
I did. No, I have not seen the congressional hearing, but I saw that it was happening.
The congressional hearing lets you realize how bad our leadership is. And like watching a congressional hearing, you're like, wait, these people are in charge? It's like, oh,
I
fuck.
I mean, anytime like they interview like people from big tech, it's always so embarrassing.
It's
they
so embarrassing.
I mean, it's the same thing you were talking about.
Yeah,
like,
it's
about,
literally
like,
the same thing.
People being too old to understand
yeah.
Like the future of our media consumption. Like,
yeah,
it's
wild.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. One quick shout out, the show on Hulu. It's the New York Times show, but the episode Saving Britney. Have you guys seen that? About Britney
I still
Spears?
Haven't watched it. We keep bringing it up at, like in our house, and we're like, should we watch it? And then we watch our stuff because I know it's going to be kind of sad.
Here's the thing: it's sad. I will say the reaction to it, I think, is a little like they were like, "Ooh, Justin Timberlake's canceled after this. How dare he?" And then I watch it, and I was like, "Wait, no, he did like what?" Like we knew he made that music video. Like he didn't do anything.
Right.
Like a lot of the people they're going after, it's a little cringeworthy. But I wasn't like
the way she was interviewed and stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean there's some stuff like yeah. But I'd also say like, you know, they're like it's a tough bag. It's a tough bag because it's like she can't go to Starbucks by herself, and it's like. Well, yeah, you're Britney Spears. Like, probably don't go to Starbucks by yourself. Like when you're that level stardom and paparazzi's everywhere, like, just send someone to get Starbucks. You know what I mean? Like, don't go through the drive-thru. Like, but it's interesting. It's really weird. And I think the craziest part about the whole thing is it's all about how the media won't leave her alone. And yet this is an hour-long doc where the media is not leaving her alone. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, like are you guys pissed at yourself? Like you're the one bringing all this stuff up. Like you could have just left her alone. But I think it's really good. I think it's really, really good. And speaking of like looking back at like 90s, early 2000s, like cancel stuff, like yo, it was wild back then. literally, they're like you watch it and you're like, wow, we just, oh, that's just like what we did. That was just the world. You could,
it's
just
like middle-aged men asking like a 19-year-old girl about her tits.
Yeah.
Like shit like
it
that.
It was just like, oh my gosh, this is what, pretty, this was the.
Pretty awful.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. But pretty good. I really liked it.
I'll check it out. Check it out.
I have no interest. Anything else?
No, that's it. Well, there was one other thing I wanted to talk about, but we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, we're going. This is way long, way longer.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
A little too long.
Until next week, keep pooping.
Keep pooping.
Have you ever been to a volcano when it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers! Can you dig it? Super Hoopers!
That's what you say, bro.
We just formed a fucking wall!
Super Hoopers!
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Super Hoopers!
That's terrible.